Welcome to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And here we are. It's the dog days, Cindy.
Uh-huh.
You're laughing at me because I said it's the dog days?
Yes. Actually, it's summertime, height of summer, height of fruit.
I think even dogs like what we have to talk about.
Okay. I think they probably do.
You said that we're in the middle of summer. I'm out of stuff to talk about. I said, ice cream.
Yes.
Right?
That's a good thing to talk about.
I think about...
Brings back lots of good memories from childhood.
In summertime, sun's starting to go down, and there was an ice cream shop in my neighborhood, and we could walk up, you know, to sort of like the big avenue and walk down the big avenue.
That's fun.
And go in, and it was a Baskin-Robbins, so they had, of course, 31 flavors.
Yay.
So you could walk in there, and... It was really fun to eat the ice cream, but the looking and the reading the names and the imagining.
And did you get to taste too or no? Or did you not do that?
There was not a lot of... was packed.
Oh, yeah. They were busy,
I bet.
It was
packed. And it was always a summer thing. It wasn't like, oh, it's November. Let's walk up and get ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, it's March and we ride my bike in the mud and go get ice cream. But in the middle of summer, that was kind of the coolest. You know, you save the paper route money and...
There you go.
You know, you had a... And
go get a cone.
Yeah, you grab your little brother and you roll up there. And but I swear half the pleasure was the looking and the imagining and...
Sure.
I mean, I certainly ate it plenty greedy. Lord knows.
You didn't savor it once
you
had it?
And you think about it. I was always a cone guy.
Okay.
And you think about...
But which kind of cone?
Not those...
Didn't they have the choices?
I never can get straight.
Yeah, I don't
know. We have really interesting interviews coming up with people who are committed to ice cream in our second and third segments.
Mm-hmm.
One from an ice cream shop here in Baltimore, David from the Charmery, and then also Jenny of Jenny's Ice Cream in Columbus, Ohio, and a few other places around the country now who are super high quality. So maybe they can actually solve what the names of the darn cones are for me, okay? I think the sugar cone, what I think of is like a normal waffle-looking thing, but not the big one, waffle filled with air sort of cup thing. That's the one that I always liked. And half the thing for me was, what order did you put? If you got two scoops, what order did you put the scoops on top of each other? Did you want like the butterscotchy one melting on the chocolate one?
What was the right progression?
Or did
progression?
You want the... Well, it really depends. Oh,
I never got more than one scoop, so I didn't ever have to think about that.
I always liked nuts, and my brother always looked at me like I was crazy. I always wanted Jamocha almond fudge, but I wanted that melting onto pralines and cream, and the pralines and cream was definitely like a kid trying to pull himself into diabetic shock. That was the sweetest ice cream that they made.
Hmm.
But that the fudge like dripping on that stuff as it kind of melted, even trying to eat it fast.
Right.
You know, that was my most often combo.
Yeah, that's pretty cool to have an ice cream parlor right up the street from your house growing up.
But it's funny, but like it was only like it's like now. It's like the hot part of the year and sun's just starting to go down. And you're starting to think that, you know what, school is coming. We better enjoy this. So right. What do? You go get ice cream.
Okay. Well, we used to have an ice cream truck that came through our neighborhood. And, wow, I just used to love the sound of that.
To have the bells?
Yeah. That was always so much fun. This was when I lived in Indiana. And we lived in a pretty good-sized neighborhood when I was little. And, you know, we would all run out on our bikes and chase the guy and catch up with him if we were out in the neighborhood when he was around, or if you were in your house, you came flying out your front door down through the lawn and went after the ice cream. I always liked the one that he had. This was an ice cream, actually. I'm sorry, it's a popsicle, but it was the red, white, and blue one. Oh my gosh, that was my favorite.
That's not ice cream.
I know, but it was still fun and a memory. So
I do recall once in a while a truck like that would come around. And the first thing you start scrambling, you hear the bells, you start scrambling for money.
For change, yeah. Where's the change? where are the coins? Mom, can I have a quarter?
Start flipping over seat cushions in the living room.
Yeah.
So popsicle, really? And not ice cream?
I always loved that thing. Well, we always had ice cream at home, so I was never lacking in ice cream at home. You know, I could have ice cream whenever I wanted it. So
wow.
That was my parents. My mom always made sure we had dessert
now
after
dinner. Now I feel
bad
about my whole childhood.
Well, you really shouldn't, Tony. I don't think that you should base your feelings on your childhood.
Wow.
That,
but, I could have ice cream whenever I wanted.
Yeah, I could, pretty much. Yeah, I guess I was spoiled. I don't know. Or else my dad really liked ice cream, so maybe that's why we had ice cream in the house at all times. And we were chocolate sauce people. So, and then there was some other thing that came in a jar when I was little. I want to say it was butterscotch sauce or something.
Excuse me.
Yes.
The Wolves, they were the chocolate sauce people?
Yes. The Wolves were. Warm.
Sorry.
My mom would call it hot fudge. I think our mom made it, maybe. And so we would have hot fudge on our vanilla ice cream. And then, I remember when Breyers had the vanilla bean ice cream. That was a big deal.
Oh,
that was really expensive. It was very special. And it had those flecks in it. Yum. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we didn't have all the things that we have now then. So
my great-grandmother, who... She was the ice cream person for me. No
and
surprise.
Your grandmother. And
my
grandmother.
My grandmother loved it, but it's because of her mother. And her mother had grown up in rural, it's hard to say, not say rural.
Rural
North Carolina.
Yes.
And ice cream was a want, like, she had to move to the big city for it to, like, be available somewhere on a special occasion, you know, to go to some fancy dining room and have ice cream actually offered.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, we're probably talking about like the 20s is when she first had ice cream.
So they made their own, didn't they?
Loved it.
No?
They did not make their own.
Hmm.
And she always would go get, man, she loved the fact that she could go to a grocery store and buy ice cream. She could pick the ice cream she wanted. There wasn't just one flavor. And she could have it in her freezer. And at the end of every night before going to bed, she would have a bowl of ice cream.
That's
that was cool. Her like... The world has advanced.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
This is life.
You can get ice cream anywhere. Well, speaking of grandparents, my grandfather was a huge ice cream lover, and he had a hand crank machine. And that was part of going to visit them in York in the summertime, was granddaddy would make blueberry ice cream or strawberry. I think he really liked strawberry, actually. He also made his own root beer, by the way, which I thought was pretty cool. But and he drank Pepsi, but he would call it Peps. And we would drink it out of Dixie cups. It was like our treat. You would go get a Dixie cup. You would get one of those ice cubes out of the freezer. They had a really old refrigerator. And they had those trays that the ice cubes popped out of those little cups. Okay, so you got one popped out cube. You got your Peps. And then meanwhile, you started making the ice cream. And even in the wintertime, we had ice cream, Tony. Do you know how? My grandfather would make snow ice cream. I loved that when I was a kid, that he would make snow ice cream.
Awesome.
It was just one of the greatest. I mean, those are great memories. Those are memories that I'm sure we all cherish of our families and the special times growing up, whether it was your grandfather actually making hand crank ice cream with rock salt and, you know, ice cubes around it, and he went out back and turned it, or, you know, whatever your personal memories are. I'm sure they're all great.
I think that the thing that strikes me is sort of the thing I started with is when you go and you see that case and you have all those flavors, it's like a little funny vacation. It's like, wait a minute, there's so many wonderful things that can happen. And ice cream is such a strong association, I think, because of that kind of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And for my great-grandmother, like, the world has advanced, you know? And your memory of, like, we can do this by hand and it's going to be marvelous. And you know, your grandmother probably picked the blueberries that went into the ice cream that your granddad was cranking out.
Yeah, oh, that's for sure. Or they were growing in the backyard. Yeah, well, they had a pretty good garden in the back, so it was usually something from the back. But, I mean, they lived in the middle of tons of farmland, so all they had to do was go, you know, two steps away and they were going to get, or their neighbor next door. You know, everybody had their gardens, which was left over from World War II, frankly. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, when you think about, my grandfather was born in 1900, so he was not a child of the Depression. He was an adult with children during the Great Depression. So, you know, they were just used to living in a very simple way and doing things for themselves. And my grandmother always brought in fresh fruit in the summertime to can, to preserve, to freeze later on in her life as a freezer came about. And, you know, she always made sure she had things put up. They had a cellar. They had a real root cellar at their house. So, and I was never allowed to go down there. I never saw it in my whole life. My biggest goal was to go up in the attic or go down to the cellar in their house. They were like the two mystery places. And my grandparents always lived in the same house their whole married life. And so those are great memories. But yes, and I think, you know, one of the other things about ice cream is that when you think about the history of it, it is something that has been made for thousands of years. And it all starts from snow in a mountain top, you know, at a warm time of the year, that, you know, obviously these were kings and queens or leaders of countries or very, very wealthy people that were able to pull this, you know, snow through, you know, a whole line of animals that would quickly transport it to the place where they wanted to eat it. And
it's
then
the
they would,
dog days of August in the Roman Empire.
In Iran or wherever.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It is
so
exactly
it's
true.
It's the exact same thing.
It does. And, you know, I just made saffron ice cream yesterday. I made saffron, nectarine, brown sugar, and creme fraiche ice cream. And one of the things I was reading in the history of ice cream is that is one, ice saffron was one of the first, you know, probably ice creams made that is so important, which
saffron
is interesting.
Saffron is such a cool perfume
in
ice cream.
Oh, my God. It makes the most beautiful ice cream, and because my brother-in-law is from Iran, I've had Iranian ice cream, saffron ice cream, and it's really is. It's a beautiful thing. Also, rose water was used in their ice cream making, and it's very ancient. You know, it's very old. These tastes and these perfumes that were used to make ice cream,
Any other surprising bits and pieces of history?
I think that's really it. You know, there's not that much. I mean, I'd like to hear what the people that are in the business of making ice cream know about the history of ice cream. But, I mean, what I looked at, I will admit relatively quickly, was, you know, it just starts with snow, you know, and you need some sort of salt and ice to pack around the dairy product, and then you freeze it.
A couple of quick personal questions.
Oh, gosh. No, I'm not answering any personal questions. All right, yes.
Vanilla or chocolate?
Oh, vanilla.
Okay.
And I like
that's
that other kind of cone. Not that waffly-looking
one. You want the air one?
I want the air one. Ah. Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you what.
Air cone.
Okay, this is how much we like the air cones in my family. My mom used to buy boxes of the air cones when I was really little, and I would go and eat just the air cone without any ice cream.
Of course.
That's how much I like those things.
It's like toast with sugar on it.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Nuts or no nuts?
Oh, no nuts. No way. Mm. I don't even like nuts in my cookies unless it's a peanut butter cookie.
And ice cream with other things, like baked things in it?
No, but I will admit that I really,
You're going to struggle. You're going to struggle with the interview with Jenny's.
I'm here with Jay Miller. I have a feeling that if Jay Miller was here, he might say one of his favorite desserts is vanilla ice cream with hot chocolate on it.
It is, although Jay's all-time favorite dessert, I know for a fact.
Uh-huh.
Is a coffee ice cream with coffee sauce dessert.
Okay. Well, that's a double whammy.
Yeah.
Wait, does he have coffee on the side as well?
He has it with coffee.
I wish he was here right now.
He has it with an espresso.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely like, the only adornment to my ice cream is hot chocolate sauce.
All right, Cindy, last personal, highly technical question. Favorite flavor?
It is dulce de leche. There's no question. I used to work for an Argentine chef when I was much younger, and then you and I went to Argentina in 2000 and had one of their dulce de leche ice creams at a shop called Fredo, and I will never forget that as long as I live. It was one of the most delicious things I've ever put in my mouth. And the first time I ever had gelato, I went to Europe on a backpacking trip in 1985. And I had a creme, I think it was called flan ice cream, gelato. It was unbelievable.
Flan gelato.
Yeah. It was so,
sort of funny
so,
to say.
So good. How about you, Tony?
In gelato, it's easy. It's always hazelnut. When in Italy, it's always hazelnut. Just straight ice cream. It may be pistachio.
Okay.
It may be in pistachio, like with big roasted chunks of like salty pistachios and maybe in a little bit of caramel, a little bit of honey or something like that. But it just might be pistachio.
Definitely when I was a kid, it was bubblegum ice cream.
Of course it was.
I loved bubblegum. I was so excited when we went into the shop and they would have that. That was definitely my favorite.
We have a couple of really interesting guests who have some pretty outlandish ideas then for a purist like you to hear. Because I know that, we'll get into it, but I know that David's pretty famous for using all kinds of historically Baltimore important ingredients
in
his
great.
Stuff.
That's cool.
And that Jenny, part of her history is she started as a pastry chef and then started taking bits and pieces of French pastry and working them into ice cream. Which you know very well is close to my heart because I'm always trying to get.
Yeah, you're always.
We have really talented pastry chefs and I'm like, why don't you take all those chocolate croissants, you know, soak them in this and then spin them into blah, blah, blah. And so. Anyway, we'll get into those two interviews and And no more personal ice cream questions for you, Cindy.
Thank goodness. That was almost traumatic.
Almost. Ice cream's never traumatic. Ice cream is only happy stuff.
It is happy.
All of that and more on Formula Wolf on Food & Wine on WYPR.